From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Friday, May 15th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Mecklenburg County Manager Michael Bryant made his official budget recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners Thursday. The $2.6 billion spending plan keeps the property tax rate steady. James Farrell has more.
County officials have been warning about a storm of headwinds this year, slowing revenue growth, federal cuts, and the lack of a state budget. But Bryant says the county offset those by moving some tax revenue from the county's debt service fund, finding savings, and using fund balances.
I am so proud to share that I have utilized all tools at my disposal and made the necessary adjustments in our investment practices without compromising our services, having to propose raising property taxes, or even implementing employee layoffs.
The budget increases the minimum wage for county employees from $20 per hour to around $25. It fully funds Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools' requested budget, allocating nearly $700 million to the district's operations. Other investments include a new behavioral health facility-based crisis center, affordable housing initiatives, and workforce development programs. The county is set to vote on the budget June 2nd. James Farrell, WFAE News.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster has issued an executive order calling state lawmakers back for a special session to address the redrawing of the state's congressional map. The session begins this morning at 11. McMaster's order comes after the Republican-led state Senate backed away from a plan to redraw the districts ahead of the midterms. Republicans could eliminate the state's only Democratic-leaning district, currently held by Congressman Jim Clyburn. Though some have warned doing so could unintentionally create more competitive districts for Democrats. The House Ethics Committee Thursday announced it's investigating Republican Congressman Chuck Edwards of North Carolina, who has been accused of creating a hostile work environment and engaging in sexual harassment. Edwards, who represents the 11th District, which includes Asheville, has denied the allegations. The state budget framework agreed to by Republican legislators this week would roll back one of North Carolina's data center tax exemptions. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
Legislators agreed to roll back the sales and use tax exemption data centers have for the electricity they purchase. State officials estimate that exemption is worth $20 million annually, but could rise as high as $160 million. The budget framework wouldn't strike exemptions on data centers' construction materials, hardware and software, and cooling equipment, among other things. Senate Leader Phil Berger says the chambers only agreed on rolling the electricity exemption back right now, but the Rockingham County Republican says he would like lawmakers to review the other exemptions.
The whole landscape of states trying to attract data centers with some of those kinds of incentives has changed significantly over the past couple of years, and I think it would do us well to review that.
Speaker of the House Destin Hall says he expects to see several data center policies advance this session. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capitol Bureau.
The Charlotte City Council canceled a special Thursday morning meeting that had been called after council members voted to rescind their support for the state's controversial Interstate 77 toll lane project. Steve Harrison has this report.
In a surprise decision, council members voted 6-5 on Monday to withdraw their support for the state's plan to build the toll lanes by partnering with a private contractor. That vote could lead a regional transportation planning board to ultimately reject the entire $3.2 billion project. Meanwhile, the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance is lobbying elected officials across Mecklenburg County to keep the toll lanes moving forward. On the other side, progressive groups like Action NC are pressuring city council members not to vote again and reverse their decision. The city offered no explanation as to why it canceled Thursday's special meeting. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools has been planning for a major overhaul of its magnet school offerings, but the district is tapping the brakes to hear more from the community. James Farrell has more.
The district had been planning a public hearing on the proposal for May 12th, ahead of a May 26th vote, but that hearing never materialized. In a message to families, CMS said it's taking more time for public feedback. Some residents voiced concern about the proposal in the public comment section of the May 12th school board meeting. Levine Middle College student Richard Maximo spoke against a plan to turn the district's middle colleges into early colleges.
All I ask is very simple. Come to our schools for feedback, and instead of replacing us, learn from us.
CMS board members raised concern last month that district leaders didn't collect demographic information on attendees of prior feedback sessions, which board members said made it impossible to tell if there were gaps in outreach. Superintendent Crystal Hill has said that delays might stall implementation of the plan to the 28-29 school year. That plan would reduce the number of magnet themes from 16 to 6. James Farrell, WFAE News.
In Fayetteville, some 1,700 workers are expected to lose their jobs as the Goodyear tire plant shuts down by the end of next year. The company says the closure is part of an effort to stay competitive in a difficult market. Goodyear recently reported steep first-quarter losses, citing falling tire demand in North America and rising costs tied to conflict in the Middle East. The Fayetteville plant opened in 1969 and is one of Cumberland County's largest employers. Governor Josh Stein is calling on Congress to send more money to western North Carolina to rebuild infrastructure damaged by Hurricane Helene. As Blue Ridge Public Radio's Felicia Sanmez reports, Stein made his appeal during a visit to Canton Thursday.
Standing in front of the former Pact of Evergreen paper mill site, Stein highlighted $3.5 million that Canton is receiving from the federal government to build a new wastewater treatment plant. In total, Washington has sent $860 million to help western North Carolina counties rebuild their water infrastructure post-Helene. But the money is far from enough, Stein said.
We need substantially more federal support. The federal government has not appropriated any relief dollars for Western North Carolina since the Biden administration and the last Congress.
Stein has been asking Congress for additional funding for water infrastructure and other environmental projects. In total, he's asking for $13.5 billion for continued recovery from Helene. Without that funding, Stein says some towns and counties won't have enough funding to address urgent needs like sewer line repair or relocating wastewater treatment facilities to higher ground. In Canton, I'm Felicia Sanmez.
A new economic development project broke ground in East Charlotte this week, a future hub for jobs, entrepreneurship, and workforce training. Julian Berger has more.
A 38,000-square-foot building in East Charlotte is being transformed into a new economic hub called Spark Centro. The project is backed by Mecklenburg County, the City of Charlotte, and investments from Bank of America and the Leon Levine Foundation. Spark Centro's Kayla Cruz says the facility will bring workforce training, small business support, and community partnerships under one roof.
This is such an important milestone, not only for our organization, but just the community as a whole. This event has been long coming, and I think with so much momentum going on in East Charlotte, it's just so nice.
Cruz says the goal is to address long-standing barriers East Charlotte entrepreneurs face when trying to access capital, training, and business resources. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Due to continued drought conditions, mandatory water restrictions begin today across Charlotte and several surrounding communities, despite recent rainfall. Charlotte Water says customers will only be allowed to water lawns 2 days a week. Odd-numbered addresses can water on Tuesdays and Saturdays, even-numbered addresses on Wednesdays and Sundays. Residents are also prohibited from washing cars at home or using decorative fountains. Officials say violations could bring fines starting at $100. More than half of North Carolina remains in extreme drought. A film screening this weekend will explore immigration, faith, and what it means to welcome newcomers. Julian Berger has more.
Jesus Was a Migrant is a documentary that examines migration through a faith lens, making connections between biblical stories and the experiences of immigrants today. The event is presented by groups including Siembra NC, Espinosa Law, and House of Light Church. Andrew Willis Garces with Siembra NC says the film challenges some Christians to reflect on how faith aligns with their response to migrants fleeing violence.
What does loving your neighbor mean in this time? What does welcoming the stranger mean in this time? And is what we're doing right now representative of that and of the story of Jesus?
The screening begins Sunday at 3 p.m. at Amity Presbyterian Church. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
The Carolina Panthers will play in three primetime games this next season, the most in a decade. The NFL's full schedule was released on Thursday. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster issued an executive order calling state lawmakers back today for a special session to address redrawing the state's congressional map. For more on how the situation got to this point, Scott Huffman, director of the Center for Public Opinion and Policy Research at Winthrop University, spoke with our Nick Della Canal.
First off, help us understand what happened here, because just last week, the South Carolina House had voted to possibly open the door on redrawing the map. Now lawmakers are backing away. What changed?
Well, you know, overall, the House is always a little more reactive than the Senate, and that's true nationally, that's true everywhere. So the House, the Freedom Caucus within the House, responds immediately to cues by Trump, whereas the Senate is a little more deliberative and was a little more strategic when looking at this.
And it sounds like there was some concern from Republicans in the Senate that eliminating the only Democratic district could actually create more competitive districts. Can you explain that concern?
Right. Partisan gerrymandering meant to help your party is perfectly legal. It's constitutionally allowed according to the Supreme Court. But redrawing the districts right now in 2026, at a time when Democrats are expected to surge in the midterm elections, comes with a few concerns and a few problems for Republicans. Two political scientists named Groffman and Brunel years ago came up with the term dummy mander. A dummy mander is when you redraw a district with the intention of helping your party, but unintentionally make a district that the other party can win. That's what they were afraid of. The majority leader of the South Carolina Senate, Shane Massey, said, look, we could be shooting for 7-0 Republicans to Democrats and end up with 5-2. So they were concerned about a dummy mander. But the other strategic question was, what will this do to down ticket races? So if they create a more competitive congressional race for Democrats, how will that affect turnout of Democrats for down ticket races?
This is very interesting because you had pressure from President Trump and some Republican candidates for governor to redraw the map, while legislative leaders seemed more hesitant. What does this tell you about where South Carolina Republicans are right now? Could this become an issue in the governor's race or even next primary season?
Well, it'll be more of an issue in the governor's race because the primary hasn't happened. And all of the gubernatorial candidates want to get whatever advantage they can. And the majority, the overwhelming majority of Republicans who intend to vote in the gubernatorial primary say Donald Trump's endorsement, or if Donald Trump weighs in, will matter the most. So they want to seem as close to Trump as possible. They'll probably continue to say we should have redrawn the districts. However, for the legislature, the window for a primary opponent has already closed. So most of them do not have primary opponents. They're not worried about someone further from the right, a more MAGA person running against them. And this won't be an issue for them potentially being primaried for another election cycle.
That's Scott Huffman, director of the Center for Public Opinion and Policy Research at Winthrop University. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And for Friday, May 15th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.